shepherds they saw as they crept through the door, and they brought little gifts to the child. As they gazed with love on the child from above, Mary turned to the shepherds and smiled. In the night skies ring and the angels. They heard Mary singing to her son, as she cradles with care little Jesus so fair. This baby the Lord shows in one, and the
thank you.
again the heart with rapture glows to greet the holy night that gave the world its Christmas rose, its King of love and life. Let us
Thank you.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight over all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar, seek the great desire of nations, he has seen his natal star.
You know, to tell a true story truly, one must always begin in the middle. Oh yes, at Christmas we tell of shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. But that was not the shepherds' first night in the fields. They have been on those hills for generations, learning from their fathers and teaching their sons. And surely the wise men who came from the east had parents. And even the angels whose songs filled the heavens had friends. As with all stories of Christmas, of gifts, and of giving, the story of one is the story of all. Which is to say that this true story is your story. And so we begin in the middle. On a winter night in 1789, to be exact, the village of Newmarket in North Wales, not far from where my own father was born, was dark and quiet under the wide white blanket of winter. Yet one house was ablaze with the joy of Christmas. A healthy boy had been born to Bernard and Elizabeth Paddy. In recent years, two of their children had died within 4 days of each other. But this night, the sorrow of that loss was lifted. Bernard took the infant in his arms and echoed the words of the angel who visited Zacharias. His name will be John, he pronounced. John Paddy, as if the name itself held the promise of endless life and future greatness. So, sleep, my child, sleep. That was the child's first lullaby. It serves to introduce his story. John's gift would be music and singing and guardian angels, including his departed family members, seemed to shape his life song. John grew up running freely through the hills and green valleys of Wales, his soul overflowing with music. As the people of Wales say, to be born Welsh is to be born privileged, not with a silver spoon in your mouth, but with music in your blood and poetry in your soul. Inheriting the gifts of his father, John became a singer, a poet, and a composer. He learned to play the harp and the flute. He also learned the family trade, the art of masonry, of fitting unwieldy stones together to make them as one. Whether joining stones or poetic words or voices in song, John learned to build things that last. When John was 16, his mother died. But she was never far from him. Her angelic melodies were already woven through the music of his life. At 19, John was wed to Mary Williams. They raised 7 children. As with most families of their day, some of those children died. But John and Mary never felt entirely without them. Whenever music filled John's soul, all his children seemed to be near. During those years, he had become a preacher. In time, a religious movement on the other side of the Atlantic beckoned him. With few earthly belongings, but laden with heavenly gifts, John and Mary joined 249 of their countrymen and boarded a ship bound for America. Out on the open sea, John organized other Welsh passengers into a choir. Singing knit their hearts together and bolstered their faith. Oh, and how they would need that faith. After landing and beginning their long trek west, one in every 5 immigrants died of cholera. John's wife, Mary, contracted the disease, and she succumbed as well. John was heartbroken, yet in his sorrow, life's music poured even more deeply from his soul. John's little Welsh choir pushed on, singing as they crossed the western plains. Along the trail, travelers from other nations put their heads out of their wagons to hear the music. Some would come running just to be near the singers. When asked where their choir had learned to sing and who had taught them, one traveler recorded, "The hills of Wales were their schoolhouse, and the Spirit of God was their teacher." That spirit was felt whenever they sang the words of their countrymen, words they knew by heart. In the Great Valley, their reputation had gone before them. They were invited to sing in meetings and at celebrations. Though few in number, their Welsh traditions gave them strength, and their unity gave them power. Soon, the governor of the territory invited John to organize and conduct a new choir. The fledgling ensemble will be named after a great domed edifice soon to be built. The Tabernacle Choir was born, but not precisely. The story of the Tabernacle Choir does not begin or end with itself. Just look into the faces of the choir members. In the light of their eyes, you can find the spirit and gifts of John Parry and the little Welsh choir that came west. But that is the middle of the story. There is much, much more. The gifts their fathers and mothers, grandparents and children are there also. Even hearing the choir, we feel the presence of our ancestors before us and generations after. And each Christmas, when snow flies and the wide mountain valley is blanketed with white, the story of the choir becomes the story of us all. It is the story of giving our gifts, of giving ourselves, whenever we are joined in song. Of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, song by song, soul by soul, what John Parry helped to build does indeed last. With shepherds, wise men, and the angels, we are one. So sing, choirs of angels, and with your exaltations, we joyfully and faithfully sing with you.